is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Sitting in for Dr. Mohler today, Russell Moore. Dr. Moore is Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and Director of the Carl Henry Institute for Evangelical Engagement. Now, here's your host for today, Dr. Russell Moore.
Today's program is 100% country music free. Can promise you that today. Today we're talking about the blues. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler program. And I'd like for us to talk today about a fascinating new book that is just off the presses by Stephen J. Nichols called Getting the Blues, What Blues Music Teaches Us About Suffering and Salvation. And what I want to talk to you about, what I want to ask you about today, really doesn't matter whether or not you listen to the blues, whether or not you enjoy the blues, whether or not you've ever even heard the blues, or whether you sing the blues. It's what do you think that we as Christians can learn from listening to the music that's around us out there in the world? I'm not referring to Christian music. I'm referring to very secular, worldly music. Is there anything that we can learn as Christians from paying attention to the kind of music that is out there? Stephen Nichols' book is about a particular form of music, music of suffering people, mostly located in the Mississippi Delta, in the most southern place on earth, as one person has put it. People who are, at the time that most of the songs were written and recorded, are suffering under racial oppression, under economic hardship, under all kinds of situations and hardships in their lives. And he says we can learn a lot by listening to blues music about the human condition and about the gospel. I want to know, when you listen to the music in your neighborhood, not even necessarily the music that you've got playing on your radio or on your iPod or however you listen to music, but when you walk down the street and you listen to the songs that your neighbors are playing, maybe your non-Christian neighbors, is there something that we could learn there that we ought to pay enough attention to that it ought to show up in our churches? What do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. How can we learn from the music of our non-Christian or nominally Christian neighbors and friends? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and join the conversation. I'm wondering how you think we can pay attention to music and art without becoming worldly ourselves. Do you think that's possible? And do you think that Christian music, the music that we sing in our churches, can learn something from what non-Christians are doing? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. I think the blues actually has a lot to teach contemporary Christian evangelicals right now. When you think about some of the lyrics, especially the old stuff, which is a lot of what we're going to be talking about today, when you think about the kind of people that we are trying to reach in the months and years ahead, especially if, as it looks like, we're moving into a time of great economic hardship, maybe it's time to move away from some of the schmaltzy, happy-clappy stuff that we've been doing in our churches and pay attention to a deeper and more biblical form of lament, something that you see in the blues. What other things do you think we can learn from listening to the world's music? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Maybe you have heard something out there on the radio, on your iPod, listening to maybe the car next to you. Maybe the music is up so loud you can hear it, and it's told you something that you wouldn't otherwise know. Give me a call. Let me know what it is. 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And let me know what you think we can learn from listening to our neighbor's music. 877-893-8255. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. And before we go to our discussion of music, a couple of items that are in the news. The first, presidential campaign is still going on. You know, listen, I am the most politically addicted political junkie in the history of the United States of America, and I'm ready for this election to be over. Honestly, it's time just to call the thing off. Let's just get it over with and move on. It seems like it's been going on forever, because it has. And every day there's some new silly little controversy, and that's what's happening today. The Democratic nominee for Vice President, Joe Biden, we knew he'd do it. We knew he would constantly give us these little gaffes, and he did it again. He says that there's going to be perhaps a crisis or a time of testing early on in an Obama presidency. He said this at a fundraiser in Seattle on Sunday, and this is how he put it.
The whole world's waiting, folks. The whole world is waiting. I know almost every one of these major leaders in the world by their first name, not because I'm important, because they were young parliamentarians when I was coming up, and we've been hanging around a long time. Tell you what, I mark my words, within the next first 6 months of this administration, if we win, we're going to face a major international challenge, because they're going to want to test him, just like they did young John Kennedy. They're going to want to test him, and they're going to find out this guy's got steel in his spine.
Now, there's all kinds of disagreement right now about exactly what Senator Biden meant. Did he mean that there's going to be some kind of a terrorist attack under a new Obama administration? Or did he simply mean, just like any president, there's going to be a time of testing and that Senator Obama is up for the test? And Senator McCain says, listen, if you've got somebody who needs to be tested in this way right away, maybe he's not ready to be president. Democratic surrogates for Senator Obama are saying, no. The issue is not that Senator Biden expects some type of an attack. He's simply saying, you know, he's going to be tested, and he's going to prove to be ready for the test. I just don't think this controversy is really worth investing all of the time that so many people are looking into it. But hey, we have had 1,000 of these things, lipstick on a pig, and everything else. And what's missing is really any kind of substantive look at the issues. This week, Senator Obama on the campaign trail is going to be leaving it Thursday to go and visit his grandmother, who is ailing, gravely ill in Hawaii. Don't know exactly what's wrong, except that it is a serious situation. And so he is going to visit her. And certainly all Christians should be praying for Senator Obama, Senator McCain, and certainly in this situation for the health of Ms. Madeline Dunham as she recuperates from whatever it is that is ailing her right now. In the meantime, Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton is campaigning for Barack Obama in Florida, calling it the battleground of the battlegrounds, and saying that the new Democratic cry is going to be jobs, baby jobs, as we move into the final weeks, the final stretch, the final 2 weeks of the election season. CNN is reporting that there is a new kind of greeting card, sending an e-card to let people know that you have tested positive for a sexually transmitted disease. Anyone who might have caught that STD, you simply send an email and let that person know. That will tell you what kind of a life you are living and what kind of a world we're living in when that is the case. The Times of London reporting that 8 out of 10 parents in the United Kingdom think that spanking is neither useful nor effective, and most parents believe that the best disciplinary technique for badly behaving toddlers is this. You want to know what it is? Here it is. Ignore them. Ignore the badly behaving toddler, and the toddler will be fine. Do not try that at home. I say that as someone who has toddlers, and ignoring a toddler is going to give you a result, all right. And it's not the one you want. The New York Times also takes up the issue of spanking today, about a situation in Wisconsin with a 43-year-old pastor who is being charged with abuse for spanking his child. I don't know the situation involved with this pastor. I don't know whether or not exactly what was happening in that situation. What I thought was interesting, though, is the article by Lisa Belkin in the Adventures in Parenting section in the New York Times, who says, I can't imagine using spanking as a deliberate and prescribed punishment. I have, however, hit my boys a small handful of times in white-hot anger. I think that's the point. And that's exactly what the scripture is calling us away from, is striking out in white-hot anger and calling to a reasoned, measured discipline. Well, you let your children go without discipline, they're going to have a miserable life. They're going to be singing the blues. And so are we today. As we talk about music, what can the church learn from the music of the world, if anything? How do you think that we as Christians ought to be paying attention to the music that's all around us? We're going to be talking in a few minutes specifically about the blues. But it doesn't have to be the blues. It can be any form of music. Is there anything out there that you've learned from listening to music about people, about your neighborhood, about your culture? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mohler Program. You can get more information about buying gold at
866-432-8656. And the day keeps on wearing me. The hellhound on my trail.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and that is Robert Johnson's Hellhound on My Trail. It's the blues, and we're talking today on the Albert Mohler Program about what can we learn from listening to music of people who say they're suffering. Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. About to talk in a few moments with Stephen Nichols, who is the author of a really fascinating book called Getting the Blues, What Blues Music Teaches Us About Suffering and Salvation. I commend it to you. But my question to you is really bigger than the blues. And it's for those of you who may not know anything about the blues, may not care anything about the blues. Should we be listening to secular music? Is there such a thing as secular music? Do you think there's anything that Christians can learn by listening to different forms of music other than those things that are reserved for the singing of the people of God within the church? What do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Should we encourage people to listen to secular music? Is there even such a thing? 877-893-8255. Let me know what you think. 877-893-8255. But first, we have on the line Stephen Nichols, author of Getting the Blues. He is research professor of Christianity and Culture at Lancaster Bible College. Our show's producer, who is a Pennsylvanian and who is from Lancaster, is making sure that I do not pronounce that Lancaster, and so I'm not going to. It's Lancaster Bible College. And this book is taking a Christian look at the blues. Stephen Nichols, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Oh, well, thanks for having me on, and thanks for getting Lancaster right.
All right. I am
and for playing Robert Johnson, too.
Well, I am
great.
I am very envious of you, because I was just told a few moments ago that you have been in Starkville, Mississippi at the Johnny Cash Festival, and I wish I could have been there, and I'm just burning with envy right now.
Oh, you should have been
the
there.
Ring of
it was
fire.
Great. Yeah, Roseanne Cash was there, and Marshall Grant was there, Johnny Cash's original bassist.
Oh, yeah.
So, it was a great weekend.
Well,
and it's Mississippi.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. See, you're already a great guest. Stephen Nichols, your book, Getting the Blues, was really interesting to me, and I'm wondering if you could just explain to our listeners, most of whom have probably never heard the blues, or if they have, they've heard a packaged kind of contemporary form of it, not what you're dealing with in this book. How would you define the blues?
Wow, that's a tough one to start off with. And I think there's a lot of different blues. The blues I was looking at is sort of the original Delta blues. And this is Mississippi Delta, right there around the Mississippi River. And this would be from 1910, 1920s up to World War II, before all these musicians started moving north and sort of got plugged in. And we have the sort of electric blues of Chicago. But in these early blues, you know, you could look at this musically. They all have a sort of similar format with sort of 12-bar blues, tended to have two lines repeated, and then a third line was sort of a response. And they all sort of followed that similar format, but they also had sort of improvisations on that format too. So you know, not every early blues song sort of fits that mold. But I think more than even defining it musically, it's also helpful to even look at this blues music and sort of define it culturally, or even what I'm trying to do in this book, look at it theologically. And there I think what we have is a wonderful music that speaks to the sort of truthfulness of the human condition,
mm-hmm.
and not always the side of the human condition we like to dwell on.
What do you think? Should we be listening to secular music? Should we be listening to the music of the people around us? And can we learn anything from it? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler and talking to Stephen Nichols, who's the author of Getting the Blues, What Blues Music Teaches Us About Suffering and Salvation. Professor Nichols, you're a theologian, a church historian. You've written a lot of good books on Jonathan Edwards and Martin Luther and Jesus in America and these kinds of issues. So why did you become interested in blues music?
Yeah. Well, you know, and like you mentioned, a lot of folks maybe not all that familiar with blues. Well, I came to blues very late, just a few mm-hmm. years ago. My wife and I, we were listening to a program on National Public Radio called American Roots.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's hosted by Nick Spitzer, and it's this great music program. And he does a lot of blues, showcases a lot of blues on his program, and kept mentioning the work of this ethnomusicologist named Alan Lomax, who went into the Mississippi Delta searching for Robert Johnson, actually. But by then, Johnson had died, and as a consolation prize, Lomax found Muddy Waters and sort of discovered Muddy Waters. But mm-hmm. But I was reading Lomax, and there was a wonderful book of his called Land Where the Blues Began. And as I began reading the story about not just the blues music, but even sort of the culture that gave birth to the blues, I realized there's a good story here. There's something here theologically. You know, my experience is sort of white, suburban, northern American evangelicalism, and that's been a lot of my experience. And when I read the stories of this blues culture, it was a very different experience from mine. And you know, you're talking about should we listen, should we not listen? And I think one of the things that can be very helpful for us is to listen to others whose cultural experiences are different from ours. I think sometimes we have blinders on when we read the Bible or mm-hmm. even when we pray or think about our theology. So I found the blues to be a great story, and that there's a great story in there to tell. For a theologian to get in and work with.
Stephen, listening to the blues is one thing because you have a lot of very religious themes that are present in the blues. But what would you say to a Christian who says, should I listen to, say, hip-hop, something that is yeah. something that is very contemporary and also has a certain violence and degradation
sure.
to it? How would you make that call?
You know, some argue that the blues of previous generation is the sort of hip-hop, and I think, you know, everything sort of demands a level of discernment as we engage, you know, and I think that's part of the trick of discipleship, of somehow figuring out Christ's command for us to be in the world but not of it, or even on the tail end of the Beatitudes there with the illustrations of being salt that hasn't mixed in so much it's lost its distinctiveness, or hiding our light, you know, withdrawing from culture, somehow engaging culture in a way that we maintain our distinctive Christian identity can be tricky, like walking a tightrope. But I still think that as we listen, we can learn a lot. And I think what you hear in some of these things may disturb us,
mm-hmm.
hip-hop or whatever the case may be. But if we listen to some of that music, again, we can hear some things that are very different from our experiences, but also hear some things where there's actually some significant truth-telling going on there about the nature of the human condition.
All right, what do you think? Do you think that our Christian music speaks to the experience of the lost people that you know? Do you think that our music that we sing in our churches and that we listen to and call Christian, does it really get at the root of what's going on with people? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
You're listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get on the line, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com and email your questions and comments. Here again is your guest host, Dr. Russell Moore.
Dr. Mohler is in Mormon country right now, encouraging the brethren out there. And don't worry, he's not going to convert to Mormonism. He would never be able to give up the Diet Coke for all kinds of other reasons. He's still going to be back here with us in just a few days. There's Russell Moore sitting in the meantime, and we're talking today about the blues and a fascinating new book by Stephen Nichols called Getting the Blues, What Blues Music Teaches Us About Suffering and Salvation. And I just want to let you know what I think the issue is right now. I think that one of the reasons why so many people are listening to what we call secular music is because so much of our Christian music is just so anemic. And I don't simply mean our contemporary Christian music on the radio, but a lot of what we sing in our churches doesn't really get at the depths of the human experience in the way that, for instance, the Psalms do, in the way that the Lamentations of Jeremiah do. I think that, sometimes we have got a very, very superficial view of what life ought to be like as those who follow Christ, and we could learn something by listening to some of the things that the outside world is listening to and singing and writing. What do you think? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. How could we as Christians learn to sing better by listening to maybe even our non-Christian neighbors? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Stephen Nichols, author of Getting the Blues and research professor of Christianity and Culture at Lancaster Bible College. Stephen, what did you learn about the human condition from listening to blues music?
Well, I think what you were saying earlier, I found that to be so true as I listened to the blues. And I think what helped me in it, again, was sort of a broadening of my experiences or a broadening of senses of things. You know, we tend to... Well, C.S. Lewis has this quote about always winter and never Christmas.
Yeah.
And I think we could have an opposite sort of sensibilities most times as American evangelicals. And I even caught a little bit of your show yesterday where you were talking about, you know, this notion of are we spoiled by our blessing or our prosperity?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that causes us to miss something. You know, when I was really heavily into working on this book and I was sort of reading through the Bible just in my daily Bible reading, I bumped into the line in Ruth by Naomi, where she comes back, you know, and she says, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara." And she says, "I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty." And I read that, and I thought to myself, that's a blues lyric.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, that's a perfect blues lyric. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. And I thought, you know, how do I relate to the situation of a ancient Near Eastern widow? I mean, I couldn't be any more different. But something about listening to the blues, I think, actually helped me read the Bible a little better. One of the things I talk about in the book is what I call a theology in the minor key. And, you know, we tend to be triumphalistic. J.I. Packer called Ecclesiastes his favorite book, and he called it the gospel bassoon. and he says sometimes we need those low notes, you know, not the high triumphalist notes of the trumpet, but the gospel bassoon. And I think that's what the blues, I think, have helped me read the Bible, and that's one of the things I was trying to do with this book, show people how the blues can help them.
Yeah, how different can the blues be from "It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day"? And
yeah.
Which one is closer to the Psalms?
Right, yeah.
Now, you mentioned... go ahead, Stephen, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. No.
You mentioned also in the book about understanding from the blues and learning about our hope for the end.
Yeah, yeah.
What does the blues teach you about that?
Sure. You know, this I sort of skipped out of the blues just for a little second and went to jazz. You know, it's next cousin. And Duke Ellington has this great piece called Come Sunday. And the piece has lyrics by Mahalia Jackson. And it's rooted in, you know, the Exodus motif was such a part of African-American music and African-American identity.
Yeah.
And so it's rooted in that, Lord, look down from above, look down on your people. And it's this great call for redemption. And the song is Come Sunday. And you can imagine the back-breaking work of a plantation work week how much of a rest Sunday really was. They understood the Sabbath. But they're also looking there for a sort of eschatological rest with that double play on Sunday there. And so hope was very much a reality in this world of the blues and something they very much held on to.
Thank you very much, Stephen Nichols, author of Getting the Blues, What Blues Music Teaches Us About Suffering and Salvation. And I want to hear from you. What do you think we can learn from listening to the music of the people around us? Or can we learn anything? Should we just leave the secular stuff alone? I think that some of the stuff out there can teach us, old and new, can teach us, again, how to sing as Christians. What do you think? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. It's Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mohler Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
You're gonna need somebody when you come to die. You're gonna need somebody when you come to die. I will point you out, a man, King Jesus is his name. You're gonna need somebody when you come to die.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. That was Charlie Patton singing "You're Gonna Need Somebody When You Die." The old blues music had some lyrics and a way of singing that we don't hear very much in commercial radio. It was suffering. It was coming out of a very specific experience of people who were economically and racially oppressed. And as Stephen Nichols put it in his book, it can tell us something about how people in the scripture, about how the men and women that the Holy Spirit used to bring us our Bible actually sang to God. What I want to know from you is, how do you think that we in our churches can sing in a way that can really resonate with the culture around us? That can really get at, not in a way of saying, well, let's listen to what people are listening to and produce the same kind of thing. But how can we sing in such a way that we really get at the root of what it means to be human? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Let me know what you think. Do you think that we're doing a good job in our churches of singing in a way that highlights every part of human existence? 877-893-TALK. But first we have Tom on the line calling from Los Angeles, California. Tom, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hey, how are you doing?
Doing great.
That's good. I love the subject matter.
Mm.
Yeah, I've been playing blues guitar for years. I know that blues had a great influence on all music. But the sad thing is how they've ruined blues. And they turn it into something dark, which isn't really what it is.
And now you say blues is not dark. How could it not be dark when it's about suffering?
Well, because it's about, suffering only is suffering, but in this case, it was, if we're going to do it theologically, it's the man crying to God. It's like, you're going to need somebody when you get there. It's out of Job. You know, if only someone could hold my hand.
Yeah.
It's so therefore, this is what I'm saying. Man, the secular out there does not want man to cry to God. They want man to stand like he's about something, and that's why they put darkness on it.
All right. Thanks so much, Tom. And I think Tom is on to something here. I mean, you compare, for instance, the blues with grunge music, for instance, and some of the very nihilistic kind of music that one hears right now. Some of hip-hop, in which you've got suffering, but the suffering provokes simply an anger or a kind of despondency or even worse, just a kind of numbness. I mean, some of the musical forms that one finds out there, the lyrics simply point people to numbness and to nothing. Whereas the blues actually, as I think Stephen Nichols is pointing out, the blues points you to a crying out of lament. I think Tom is right. There is something that we can hear here about that Abba cry that we see in, for instance, the book of Romans, in which the believer is groaning, but it's not a whining. It's a calling out to God like a child calling out to his father to be delivered. I don't think we hear very much of that in our congregational singing in our churches, in most of our churches, and I sure don't think we hear that on contemporary Christian radio. What do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. What can we learn from the music of our neighbors, of our non-Christian neighbors, about how we ought to be singing as Christians? 877-893-8255. We have James, who is calling from Canada, listening on the World Wide Web. James, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hi, it's great to be on your show.
Good to have you.
I just wanted to say that I think definitely we can learn from listening to secular music, but that we should be very careful not to become entertained by music that would be degrading or going against Christ's teaching.
Well, James, I think that is actually a good warning, that there is a way, I think, that people can listen to music in an undiscerning kind of way, in which you have people actually being entertained by sin in such a way that they now are callous to it. They don't see it and understand it. So in other words, I think there is something different about listening to a song, for instance, about the pain of divorce. I think there's something real about that, about listening to whatever the musical form, about someone who's crying out about the consequences of divorce. I think there's something very different about that from someone listening to a song that glorifies divorce or that trivializes the kind of violence that comes along with divorce. What do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. You know, sometimes I will talk about this in terms of film with some people who, and I'll often contrast, for instance, Schindler's List, which is a very violent movie, but it doesn't glorify violence. It shows the consequences of violence. Blues music, I think, shows sadness, shows darkness, but unlike some other forms of music, it doesn't glorify the darkness. It doesn't idolize the darkness. What do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-8255. We have Connie, who is calling from Paoli, Indiana. Connie, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hi, thank you. I just wanted to comment that when I think of jazz music and when I think of or blues or when I think of even old gospel Christian music, I think of they were so persecuted and so suffering and so hardworking that going home looked great to them.
They were
singing about going home.
Yeah.
And that's just a thought of mine.
Well, what do you think we can learn from that, Connie?
I think that we can learn that we probably should look forward to going home.
Yeah. Well, I think, Connie, a lot of times, you're exactly right, a lot of times, even the music that we sing about heaven, about the kingdom of God, it's almost a very trivial, almost as though there's just a continuing on of what we're already doing forever and ever and ever. We just don't want that nasty little interruption of death, rather than having a groaning of being delivered. I think that's a real problem among Christians and in our churches. What do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Can we learn something from music that really speaks to suffering, to darkness, to pain, to crying out for deliverance? 877-893-8255. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
I'll take this yoke upon me and live a Christian life. Take Jesus for my Savior. My burden will be light. Trouble soon be over.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and that's Blind Willie Johnson, and he is awesome. Trouble will soon be over. We've been talking today about the blues and about what we as Christians and what we as churches can learn from listening to music like that. And I think the biggest thing that we can learn is to learn how to be people who can sing about joy, about peace, and about suffering and about sorrow. Several years ago, I was talking to a woman who had just experienced a really, really difficult time in her life. She had just lost a child. And she talked about the fact that she couldn't go to her church. She went to an evangelical, Bible-believing church, and she said, I just couldn't go that Sunday. I went to an Episcopal church. Now, she went to this liberal Episcopalian church in her community, and I said, why? She said, well, I'm not going to go there again. She said, I just went there that one Sunday. She said, I just couldn't deal with the hilarity of it all that day. And I thought that was really, really telling, because there is something about the way that so often in our churches we present the Christian life. We present the Christian life as though it is only about joy, meaning happiness. When in Scripture, joy is much deeper than happiness. You have many people indwelled with the Holy Spirit, being conformed to the image of Christ, who are calling out, how long, O Lord? Who are calling out in deep pain and anguish to a Father to deliver them. As a matter of fact, the book of Revelation tells us that our brothers and sisters in heaven right now are calling out, how long? How long until you avenge the martyrs? How long until you set things right? And I think sometimes people in our communities are hearing more of what we see in the Psalms and in Lamentations and in Job and in Ecclesiastes and in Ruth. They're seeing more of those themes in what we call secular music than what they're hearing in our churches. I wonder what would happen if in our churches we had triumphant joy, if we had exuberance and laughter and peace, and also if we were willing to weep with one another and to cry out, even in the way that we sing to our Father, please, please, Father, give us our daily bread. Bring your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Might change things for a lot of people and in some remarkable ways. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. We'll be back tomorrow to talk about things that matter on the Albert Mohler Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.